Cruz on campus, but lost track of him.
That's Wendy King, and this is USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
The nation's attorney general says those who are criticizing President Trump's immigration policies and strong border approach are radicals.
The rhetoric we hear from the other side on this issue, as on many others, has become radicalized. We hear views on television today that are on the lunatic fringe, frankly.
Speaking at a law enforcement summit in Los Angeles yesterday, AG Jeff Sessions also said that the administration is working hard to end family separations at the Mexican border, but ultimately they need Congress to pass an immigration overhaul. On that note, the House is expected to vote today on what's called a compromise immigration bill crafted by Republicans that would keep migrant families from being separated. House GOP Whip Steve Scalise says the bill would also pay for President Trump's border wall and would strengthen immigration enforcement inside the United States. A mistaken report of a hijacking prompts police to swarm a departing JetBlue flight out of New York's JFK Airport last night. It seems the pilot wanted to report a problem with the plane's radio, but mistakenly used a code that meant hijacking. And today is National HIV Testing Day. The CDC says 1.1 million Americans are living with the virus associated with AIDS and that one in seven don't know they have it. And everyone from 13 to 64 should get tested. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith. You're listening to Happy to Help on 100 and Chamber Radio. We're going to do the weather really quick. A little bit cloudy today. It's going to be heavy rain tonight, 70% chance of rain with a low of 67. Tomorrow it's going to be warmer, 85, but still showers and a chance of showers through tomorrow night. Friday looks like it might be sunny. Sunny Saturday and sunny Sunday. So we got a good weekend coming up and highs in the 90s.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on 100 and Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@100-chamber.org.
Good morning. You're listening to Happy to Help. This is Nicole Smith, and we are talking to some special guests today. We have a party in the studio today. We have four special guests, and we are on Facebook Live if you'd like to check it out. The show is, or the show page is Happy 100 In or at Happy 100 In. Happy to Help or at Happy 100 In. I'll figure that out. Anyway, this is Nicole Smith, and our show is about volunteering and helping others, and I like to show people that volunteering is the secret to happiness, or I believe it is. And I always like to hear about people in the community who are doing good things. And today we are lucky to have Tommy Moudry. Welcome.
Hello.
And Tommy's mom, Erin. Great to have you. And we, I learned about Tommy and his kindness project through the Burnsville News, our local paper, and I was so inspired by the things that he's done, so I invited him to be on the show today because it's summertime and kids are out of school. And I was brought up in a family that values volunteering and try and instill that in my own kids, so I'm always excited to see other kids doing good work. So, Tommy, can you tell us kind of how the kindness project came to be?
Well, in fourth grade, I started I started thinking about some sort of kindness club, but I didn't really have a foundation for it. But in seventh grade, just one day, it kind of just clicked in my mind for basically like six pillars of kindness, and it just worked out.
Yeah, you've done a great job. So can you tell us a little bit about what you've done in the community? I think there were bookmarks or Be Kind with the BEE Kind. Can you tell us what happened with the bookmarks or how you got stores to sell those?
We basically got some bookmarks online, and we went around to some local stores in Burnsville, and we basically gave them around to the stores so we could get to save the bees.
Yeah.
And on the bookmarks, there's some paper bees that is a seed paper.
Yeah, nice.
So you can plant them, and it gives wildflowers to help save the bees.
That's amazing. And you say we. Did you gather some of your friends to help you with this project?
Yes, we got probably two-thirds of the Kindness Club to help.
Okay. Did you start the Kindness Club?
Yes.
Okay. And let me ask you, Aaron, did you facilitate or foster a sense of volunteering in your family from early on?
Yeah, for sure. I was brought up, like you, in a family that really valued volunteerism and spent a lot of my own time volunteering as a young adult, and even still now I do a lot of volunteering. So we've tried to demonstrate to Tommy and include him, and you know, he's very active in our church volunteering, and we do a big push for American Diabetes Association every year, which I have type 1 diabetes. So my husband and Tommy started a team called Ride for Mommy, and
aww,
we've raised I think like $10,000 over the past few years.
Nice.
Just our little family. So yeah, we definitely value it, and you'll see random acts of kindness out of my husband quite frequently. Aww. and myself and Tommy too.
Would you agree that it makes you happier volunteering?
Oh,
and kind-
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's like the magic pill. People are looking for the magic pill. This is it, folks, volunteering and helping others.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So how many people are in the Kindness Club, Tommy?
I'd say probably at least a third of our of each grade.
Wow, you created quite a movement, haven't you?
Yeah.
And I understand you're moving up to high school, correct?
Yes.
So does that mean you have to create a new club for high school, or do you get to continue it on, or how does that work?
I'm interested in doing it. I'm just not sure yet if I'm going to do it, because I'd rather focus the efforts in the middle school, because it's a little harder there to get to where you want to be socially in the middle school.
Well put. Yeah, middle school is a rite of passage for all of us, right? Not an easy thing. All right. Well, I wanted to talk about your Save the Children. Heard about your work, which is a global organization, and they invited you to go to the UN, right, last fall?
Yes.
And can you tell us a little bit about that experience and what you learned and what you saw and what you enjoyed?
So I went there because a friend of my, no, wait.
Yeah, so it was a friend of mine who is the UN delegate for Save the Children.
Okay.
And she had been watching, because I would post all over Facebook for the Kindness Club, and, you know, just really proud of everything Tommy was doing and encouraging kindness in our community was, you know, really important to me. So I was kind of like their social media.
Hey, yeah. That's what we moms do best,
officer.
Right?
Yeah. And so I'd been posting for, I don't know, like 8 months about the Kindness Club efforts, when my friend, you know, reached out and said, hey, we're having a panel of youth present to the UN delegates. We're inviting them for International Day of the Girl.
Oh, October 11th. Yeah.
So she invited Tommy to be on the panel, and there were four panelists. He was the only U.S.
Really?
Representative.
Okay.
And by far the youngest. They were like 21, 16, and 19, the other girls, and they were, one was a Syrian refugee.
Wow.
her story was amazing. All of them were amazing kids, but the girl that was 16 was from Rio de Janeiro, mm-hmm. and from like the slums of Rio de Janeiro. Right. And there's a lot of drugs and gun violence, mm-hmm. so that's her cause. Mm-hmm. And then the girl from Sweden who was like 19 and Tommy had a lot more in common. They were bringing people together mm-hmm. to back causes. So okay. They had a lot in common. She was doing it at a countrywide uh-huh. level uh-huh. but commended Tommy for starting local and, you know, really, this is where we want to start.
Yeah, well, that's what I always tell people. It's whether it's local or global, the key is to helping others. So I do a lot of work with Room to Read, which is a global organization for education and for girls' education and literacy. Mm-hmm. And we celebrate International Day of the Girl in a big way every year. Mm-hmm. And so I'm definitely familiar with that. But I think some people are saying, well, you know, why are you helping people here when, you know, why are you helping people elsewhere when you've got people in your own country hurting? And mm-hmm. and I get all of it, but we're all helping human beings. We're all human beings on the same planet. And so whether it's local or it's global, whatever drives you to help others, I think that's commendable regardless of where those people are. But I think that's amazing. So what did you think of the UN? Did you see all the flags and was it pretty fun?
Yeah, it was pretty fun. But I feel like still the main goal was like to help people, and just talking about it really gave something to, I think, everyone for like sharing ideas and ways of life that we might not know about.
Right. It was an education, right? Yeah. Yeah. And so you learn different things. And my daughter was on the show a couple weeks ago talking about her work in Belfast, and she was born after the whole IRA thing went down. And so she learned a new piece of history. Like I said, when I was in middle school, I could care less about history, but now I find it fascinating. So just 30 years too late, but you know, better late than never. But you got to meet people from other countries and experience different life lessons that you probably haven't experienced firsthand, right, through their stories.
Yeah.
So who are your best buddies that are committed to the club that you work with?
Honestly, most of them are kind of just people in my grade and mostly younger. Mm-hmm. But I have to say some of my friends are doing it, but some necessarily aren't.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, people get busy in the summer and things like that. And I think it's good to have an introduction to it, no matter how, and you never know when that's going to kick in later and get somebody to do something on their own. But exposure is really key. Yeah. And so you said that you kind of formulated this whole kindness club. Was it out of some service work you did with your church, or your mom was bugging you to do something, or what was the impetus to get you to take this jump and create this club?
I wasn't really...
was having some trouble with, I think, feeling like it was that middle school time, you know?
Well, it's a tough time.
It's a tough time. Yeah. And he was seeing other kids be not treated well. It mm-hmm. wasn't necessarily him. Mm-hmm. But seeing kids that he cared about being teased mm-hmm. Or just excluded. Mm-hmm. And... you know, at first he wasn't really sure, like, but he's like, I feel like I have to do something. And it took like 3 years of him talking about it. And then he'd get a little frustrated because he was only 10 mm-hmm. and he couldn't articulate it because, oh my gosh, like really when the six areas of focus came pouring out of him, you know, and Megan Magno called me and said... You know, I saw Tommy today, and he told me about this idea for a kindness club, and he said he has six areas of focus. I was like, what? Because all the times we talked about it before, he's like, I just don't know. I just don't know. I want to do something, and I just don't know. And Megan read off the six to me, and I was like, wow, now he's taking this somewhere.
That's amazing. Well, you show incredible maturity in your empathy and your compassion for others, because it takes a lot of guts to stick up for other people instead of just sitting in the background. I mean, you may not agree with it, but it takes even more gusto to actually do something about it. So that's commendable that you came up with this and that you cared enough to create something in an environment for people to feel okay. So kudos to you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Good morning. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. And we have a young person who is a philanthropist at a young age, showing compassion and empathy in his community in Burnsville. And we were just talking about how he had this idea, and he approached his teacher, Megan Mongyo. And welcome, Megan.
Oh, thank you for having us today.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And we also have your principal, Gretchen Dempsey, who is now going to be the superintendent of schools in Burnsville.
Yes.
Okay, congrats.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Okay. Megan, can you tell us how Tommy came to you and how long you'd been his teacher and how this all evolved with your help?
Yeah, so I had known Tommy at school for about 2 years, and he came to talk to me one day, and it was kind of just how Tommy described. I think it was just a day where he was feeling a little frustration, maybe feeling a little bit down about something that he had seen at school or just something that he was feeling. And he came in, and we were just having a discussion about it. And then during the discussion, you know, he started really talking more about this idea of wanting to start the Kindness Club. And then he talked about how not just being a club, but he really wanted to have, you know, six areas of focus. And he kept describing it. And so when we were there, I had my little notebook out, and we started outlining, you know, what the six areas of focus would be, you know, based on the discussion we were having and based on everything that he was sharing with me. So it was really amazing. Like Mrs. Mudry said before, you know, the conversation was really amazing, and by the end of it, I couldn't believe that we really had something that was really looking like a club that we could start. And it was really at the beginning of the year, beginning of his seventh grade year.
And are there a lot of clubs at the Burnsville Middle School, or is this kind of a unique thing?
There are several clubs. You know, we have the Green Team, we have the Yearbook Club. You know, so there are several clubs. And this was new for me. I mean, I've never had the opportunity to work with a club yet at the middle school. I'm just entering my fourth year there. So after we had this idea that Tommy had shared, and after I spoke with his mom about it to see if it was something that we could really move forward with, I went to check with my principal, Mrs. Dempsey, to see if it was something that we could try to move forward with. I didn't know what the approval process would be for starting the club, but she told me that, you know, we could start on a temporary basis and kind of just get up and running. And then once we had enough time under our belt and enough participation, we could eventually hopefully become, you know, a permanent club at the school.
Mm-hmm. Which we're happy to say will happen next year. This was the first club that we actually launched during my tenure there. So I was thrilled that Tommy had this great idea, that Megan worked to support him, and that, you know, they have lots of members and meet regularly and have had wonderful initiatives. So
you're going out with a bang. And then who knows what you're going to do next as a superintendent. So we're expecting great things from you. Well, and I noticed, Megan, you've got your butterflies on your sweater, because one of the quotes I got from the article was that an idea is like a seed. If you plant it and nurture it, it will grow. And it talked about the butterfly effect of spreading positive behavior through modeling. And that's exactly what Tommy's doing. It's, you don't talk the talk, you got to walk the walk, and you're doing that. Can you read the initiatives from the Kindness Club, the pillars, for us? Yeah, that would be great. Oh, okay. Cause so everybody kind of knows what they are, and if you want to elaborate on any of them, or you're happy, fine to do that. It's okay. So you want to go ahead and read them?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. So the first one is encouraging and recognizing random acts of kindness, which really is just mostly like some other things that happen in general in the world when it comes to kindness groups.
So just being aware, right?
And the second one is like modeling kindness and respecting and including. It was just our school at the time, so it would be for the BMS students of Burnsville Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
The third one is acting as kindness ambassadors for BMS students. So we would kind of show the way in a sense. So like that way people could like get help or anything else like that.
So are the kindness ambassadors identified in any way, or people kind of know who they are, or through an assembly or anything, or they're the ambassadors are supposed to be on the lookout for anything going on that they need to kind of be kind?
Yeah, mainly on the lookout for like helping other people.
Okay.
The fourth one is participating in kindness to our world efforts, which has apparently gotten some attention. So I got in the newspaper, Burnsville News, and I got honored by the mayor for this one pillar because we started the Be Kind to Our World effort.
Nice.
Did I say this already?
No, you're doing fine. Just go with it. We love hearing about everything.
Be Kind to Our World bookmarks, which had the seed paper.
Right.
Right.
And we did a good job of advertising and getting what we needed to do done. So we eventually got honored by the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And raised over $350.
$350,
as
nice.
Profit. So,
yeah. And then what did you do with that money? I think there was a plan to start a garden. Were you able to do that, or did you do something else?
It is currently in a work in progress.
Okay, that's fine.
A mural / garden.
Okay, nice.
I don't know when.
Yeah, and I think Mrs. Dempsey maybe could give an update on that.
Okay, let's.
Well, one of the reasons that we kind of held off a little bit is that we are working on a recess area behind our middle school.
Nice.
And this area kind of abuts that. So we just wanted to make sure that whatever Tommy and the club worked on was not something that was then going to be compromised by construction.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. That's good. Projects are good. All right, and then what are we on? Pillar number five now?
So there's another offering BMS students as a resource to help for, like, long-term kindness.
Okay. Long-term, good. Have a goal?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Or is there something different about that? Long-term. What do you mean by long-term? Just a lifetime of service?
Helping people so it could change their lives in a way. It can help them through something that you might not necessarily know at the time, but you never know what, how much just a little bit of kindness can change someone's life.
Yeah, I agree. I always tell my kids that, you know, if someone's being unkind or someone did something unfavorable, I say, you don't know what's going on in their life right now. You know, you only know what's going on in your own head, in your own life, and other people could be dealing with things like these kids from, you know, the Rio de Janeiro and other places. I mean, you just don't know what anybody's going through with their family.
So Tommy actually came up with a great quote that makes me well up every time he says it. So can you talk about your ocean quote?
Let's hear it.
One drop of kindness equals an ocean of hope.
I love that. That is definitely quotable. Yeah, I mean, all we need is a little hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's incredible. What about number six?
Providing avenue for advertised community service options. We don't always do community service for our school, but when we do, it's probably one of the best ways to do it, because not only are you helping people, but you're also getting some community service as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's basically the six pillars, but that was like a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've changed and grown and evolved since then, but we still have the same, we still have basically the same six pillars for the most part.
Yeah, I think those are steadfast and strong, and they'll endure the test of time, right? That's great. Well, I love the exposure, because a lot of people just don't know what to do. So if you give them an idea or give them a spark of interest or a spark of hope, then they kind of follow your behavior. And they, I don't know, at Ridge High School, they're required to do, as sophomores, 25 hours of community service. I don't know if Bernersville has a requirement or if it's...
Middle school, you have to do 5 hours a year.
Okay, for all 3 years? Is it 3 years?
Four.
Oh, it's four. Okay, mm-hmm. Great. No, I think it's good introduction, especially at a young age, because I believe volunteerism and giving back is a lifelong habit that's good to develop. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Megan, can you tell us about some of the other students that were inspired by Tommy's work and how that kind of spread throughout the school?
Yeah. Like I said, we started last year when Tommy was in seventh grade, and, you know, it was just, I think, the beginning of the school year when we started advertising that we were going to have meetings. So right now, last year and this year, we've been meeting twice per month during the lunch periods. And the reason why Tommy originally had the idea for the lunch period is because sometimes there would be students who finished their lunch and they wanted to do something else. And, you know, maybe there wasn't enough room to go to the library that day, or maybe the friend that they wanted to sit with wasn't there that day, and they really wanted to maybe make a difference. So we started it during the lunch periods, and we started having meetings for all grade levels. And we've had participation. It's been wonderful. I mean, we have some members that come on a regular basis. You know, other members who don't come as frequently because they might have other lunch obligations, like going to work with another teacher. And then it's wonderful, actually, last year for our last meeting and this year for our last meeting that we had a new member show up. And I was really, you know, excited by that, because it was, you know, maybe they're just hearing about it more from their friends at mm-hmm. the very end of the year. And then to come help us with that end of the year effort was really special.
Yeah, I think that's great, because people just, a lot of times, especially at this age, they want to do stuff with their friends, you know, and if it's cool, then it's cool, and everybody does it, and everyone's having a good time, because it's just, like you said, it's all inclusive, and the more people you can get involved. And I did notice, too, did you donate something to the More Than Me Fund for Katie Myler, right, part of the proceeds? Yeah. Tell us about that.
Tommy, did you want to speak about that?
Have you met Katie? Have you met Katie Myler?
Yes, she's come to the middle school.
She's incredible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she is very motivational.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, Katie Myler is a native of Bernardsville, and she started a club called, or not a club, an orphanage, a school called, or an organization called More Than Me. And they just had a fundraiser like a month or two ago, mm-hmm. and she won the Chase $1 million a couple years ago. With
she was the Time Person of the Year.
Time Person of the Year, yeah. And she had the I Am Abigail campaign, and she was in the thick of it when the Ebola crisis was breaking out in Africa. Like, she is fearless and incredible in her. And I hear she just got married, I hear, too. Yes. You know, yeah. So, yeah, Katie Myler, look her up. It's morethanme.org, and she's incredible. So she worked with you, or you gave some money to her organization?
Yes. We held a bake sale at one point to donate to the More Than Me Foundation.
Yeah, well, you're the epitome of helping local with your Be Kind initiative and the bees and environment, and then also helping kids globally through your More Than Me connections. It's really all about connections, I think. So, you know, and connection, the world's getting smaller and smaller every day. And so the more we can relate to people close to our community and those across oceans, I think it's amazing.
Yeah, and Katie actually has been very supportive of Tommy through our Facebook connection. She actually grew up right, like, we could see the house she grew up in from our house.
Yeah.
I didn't know her then. I know her sister, and I know, you know, her family that still live there. But, you know, when they decided to do this bake sale for More Than Me and make the donation, she was so appreciative and, you know, so proud of Tommy as a fellow, like, Bernardsville school system graduate. Mm-hmm. So she loved to see that he's starting young, and I was saying, yeah, but you are so much of an inspiration too. So she's been great.
Yeah, and I always tell people it's all about perspective, because Katie, you know, she tells the story of how she, you know, watched all her rich friends go off to these incredible vacations, and their family didn't have a lot of money, so she was, you know, stuck at home watching TV, and she felt really down and really depressed. But then you go to Africa, and you realize, yeah, we have it pretty good here, right? So, you know, I mean, when you've got nothing but dirt, you know, a TV looks pretty good. Or, I mean, you know, she puts it in perspective for people. That's why I say, you know, you don't know what other people are going through locally, but globally, things are very different. And we do, luckily, live in a pretty cool country, and we have our freedom, which is beyond anything material that you could possess.
I think it's important, though, to think about, too, Tommy mentioned how middle school's a tough time. And what can seem affluent or privileged from the outside doesn't necessarily mean that kids feel good about where they are or how their day is going. And so that aspect of local, it's not just local geographically. I think Tommy was really trying to help students who were his peers, and not just by setting a good example, but also by giving them a cause to believe in and work for. So that's why I celebrate him.
No, it's incredible, because we're all going through our own journey, right? And nobody wants to feel alone. You want to have camaraderie. You want to have someone who understands you, or you want to just have an outlet to express yourself. And I think you've done all that really well. Yeah.
Thank you.
So are you excited about high school, or is that a big step?
Kind of. A little bit of both.
Yeah. No, that's good. Now, do you have siblings?
I have an only child.
Okay, no, that's good. Well, so that's why you created your own little family with this club, right?
Maybe.
So, Gretchen, has this inspired you to do anything at a district level? I know you got a lot on your plate moving forward with a new job and everything, but has it made you think about things differently or things you might want to do?
I think I've always thought that the best ideas come from the ground up. So certainly from an outlook standpoint, I would say I want to do all I can to encourage other students and staff members to feel as though if they have a good idea, they can come forward and present that, and that we will work to make those things happen. I also think as a district, we have had a community service requirement, and I don't necessarily like that word at the end of it, because you'd like to think that these things are more heartfelt. And so I'm interested in how we can perhaps make our efforts a little bit more genuine in that regard, and not have it be viewed as just something that students have to, you know, do or check off the list.
Okay, very well put. And Erin, you want to chime in here?
Well, I actually, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, Mrs. Dempsey, because one thing that, and I've been trying to find the right avenue and right time to talk about, is that it frustrates me when I see students fulfilling their requirement by bringing in three bags of canned goods that their parent went and purchased for them. I mean, I know some people take their child with them when they go do that, but to me, they're losing out on the experiences of engaging with someone who might be needy or, you know, going out and talking to people about why is it important that we save the bees. And, you know, that was part of that fundraiser. The kids, like, you know, did some research. They made some posters. They, you know, there were several people during the hours that they volunteered distributing those bookmarks that had the little plantable bee on them about, you know, why? You know, why is this important? We stood outside of one of the toy store in Bernardsville. Tons of toys was very supportive.
Those guys are great, yeah.
And then, but we also stood outside of Gary's, the wine market, right? And so it's kind of like, if you're going into Gary's to buy something, probably a bee played a role in getting that on the shelf.
Exactly. Yeah. So pollinating grapes, right?
It was, yeah. It was a cool and educational experience, and I feel like there's so many kids who literally check that box by bringing in an old coat or bringing in canned goods. So I'd love to see the requirement changed too. And there's so many opportunities for kids. There's a new community center in, mm-hmm. in right in Bernardsville in the old library.
Oh, yeah. The
hub.
Yeah, yeah, and they do a lot of the opioid stuff. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's
one of it. Yeah, no, but it's an area. Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's right. Yeah, it's in the old library, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Community in Crisis is what is kind of set it up, but then they're open to all kinds of community events, and it's adorable little building, right? Yeah, right,
yeah,
in the center.
Offering opportunities.
Yeah, that's good to know. Yeah.
So.
Especially for middle schoolers.
Okay.
Yep. So I think, you know, Ms. Mudry, we probably share the same view. There, I think a good idea somewhere along the line became something that was viewed as a requirement. And I don't think that it's a bad thing. And certainly donating old coats is better than not donating them. But I think there's probably room for more meaningful experiences for our students moving forward.
Yeah, and I agree. And some of it's just semantics. But I think some people, even though it's a requirement, the requirement's the only way they're going to do it. And maybe they just pick up some cans now, but maybe a couple years down the road, something else will spark their interest. And they're like, oh, you know, I mean, you never know when it's going to hit you, why it's going to hit you, what's going to spark your interest. But like you said, that's what the show is all about. There's so many opportunities to get involved. So I started with Room to Read, and then I started doing public speaking, and then I got a radio show, and then I get to meet all these great people. And then, I mean, so just one little spark of volunteer just threw me in a completely different direction that I had never anticipated I'd go in, and I'm having the time of my life. So, I mean, I'm lucky, and someone put it this way, whatever you put into volunteering, you get back in, you know, tenfold. So, you know, you the intention is to help others, but really, as I selfishly say, I'm doing great. It's great. It helps me a lot. So
Tommy actually asked me recently, a few months ago, is it bad, Mom, if I feel good about helping people? Like, is it bad if I want to do it because it makes me feel good?
Yeah, well, that's the whole idea, right? Yeah, it's kind of an oxymoron, but it's true.
Said, no, like, it should make you feel good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's the only reason you're doing it, but you really enjoy it, right?
Yeah, and I force my kids to go to the soup kitchen with me. You know, they'll be kicking and screaming, but then once they get there, they just, you know, go with the flow. And there's different things, because one of my friends put it this way, that sometimes going to the soup kitchen is basically a window into mental illness, which is true. So, you know, you're there and you get exposed to different things, that it can be a little scary seeing people, you know, burst out or throw away the food that you just offered them, that you may, like, it's, you know, but it's just exposure and it's learning. And as long as you're good in your heart with the effort you're putting forward, you can't judge, you can't set expectations. You've just got to do it out of the goodness of your heart. And who knows who's watching, who knows who's paying attention, who knows whose life you're going to change by just your simple actions. And middle school, I don't know if you know that. So in the William Anna Middle School, a couple years ago, they started the Day of Giving. Mm-hmm. So they invite 20 or so nonprofits in, and the kids rotate through presentations, and then they have a like a fair where you can go around and sign up to help or work. So that's definitely, there's been some initiative there.
Sounds like a great idea. Burnsville years ago had a day where all of the students, it was traditionally on Martin Luther King Day, where students from the high school, the middle school, and the elementary school would engage with one another and in outside organizations. Similar idea, perhaps a little bit different approach, but I think there's room certainly for us to grow from where we are now.
Yeah, well, then the funny thing is, because some of the other moms are saying that, so it's announced this Day of Giving, right? And it's usually on a Friday, I think. And so a lot of parents will just keep their kids home from school. They're like, oh, it's not an academic day. You don't need to go. So, you know, you've got all opinions in there. So, but, you know, but a lot of the kids are really engaged and they get exposed. But again, you never know if it's going to be through their church, through an inspirational teacher, or through another child, another student, a fellow student. You never know what's going to spark someone to have an aha moment. Or sometimes if you've got an illness or someone passed away from cancer, then you rally around a cause because of a personal interaction you've had, which is amazing too. So, Megan, do you encourage giving or kindness in some of your curriculum that you teach? Is that part of that, or...?
Yeah, I mean, my role at the school is more of a support staff right now.
Okay.
So I get to collaborate with the teachers on many different, projects, mm-hmm. And in working with the students. But right now, in working with the club, you know, I feel like we've been able to have many different areas of focus based on different events that are going on at school and based on different initiatives that people are doing. The staff at the school knows that we would like to assist with different projects. So when they've, you know, when they were gathering food for the food pantry, you know, we came and we helped and we gathered boxes and we helped to wrap the boxes and, you know, decorate the boxes so that they would be prepared when all the food items and donations had come in. There was a fundraiser that they did for HeartWorks. One of the physical education teachers had initiated that. And we wanted to help in any way that we could, so she allowed us to help, you know, with the advertising for mm-hmm. that event. So just in every little way that we've been able to make a difference, we've tried.
I think Megan is humble, though, because it's hard maybe for you to see how you rub off on other people, but we did have another staff member sign the school up for the middle school's kindness challenge this year, and where you might not see that as an outgrowth of your efforts or Tommy's efforts, I do see that idea of things that are rolling down hills and gathering steam. So
that's amazing. Well, the other thing I want to point out too is I don't know if you've seen the movie Screenagers. It's mm-hmm. about, yeah, so that's a great movie, and I'm on their email list, so they have a Tech Talk Tuesday. So one of the guys wrote an article yesterday talking about volunteering and summer jobs and things, because we're in the summertime, so if your kids are idle, it's a great way to introduce them to any kind of organization, whether it's collecting cans or showing up at the soup kitchen or investigating. There's generationon.org and dosomething.org. There's so many ideas out there. And summertime is a perfect time to kind of test the waters with some of that stuff, because you do have time. You aren't running to sports, hopefully, or you know, you've got a little bit more downtime. And the thing that the article said yesterday, and I fully support this, is it volunteering allows you to step out of your comfort zone and work with people that are older and younger and different, and just you get eye contact and personal contact, and you learn from others. And so it's a great way to develop your human side and outside of the electronics and just the skill sets and dealing with people and things like that. So there's, like I said, I just named two websites. You can go through your church, the Community in Crisis, the Hub, the Read a Book. There's a million books out there. Oh, Marley Dias Gets It Done, I think is the name of. She collected 1,000 girls about kids of color. So there's a million, you know, you really don't have to look very far or throw a rock to hit something good going on. So, and yours stemmed out of your involvement with the church, right? Some of your involvement with community service?
Mine personally?
Yeah.
I mean, my parents both started their careers in community service roles, and I think that was always an influence. You know, as maybe safe as it was, as not safe as it was, like, my mom is a nurse.
Oh, hail to the nurses.
Right,
hail to the
nurses. Emergency room nurse at one point. But She, you know, any accident, we were pulling over to help.
Wow.
I mean, I remember that as a kid.
Wow.
And even if it was like, no, I'm good, like, the police are on the way. It was, you know, days before there were cell phones, right?
Right.
So, like, now, constantly, there's people just driving right past an accident, you know?
Yeah.
So I was influenced at a really young age, and as a kid Tommy's age, I started with the Baskin Ridge Presbyterian Church doing a lot of volunteerism. Mm-hmm. So I can remember going to soup kitchens mm-hmm. and like on Thanksgiving Day and spending the majority of our day there. And I remember it. Like, I remember giving coats to mothers, like, at age 13
wow.
who were, like, welling up in tears with gratitude.
Aww.
And, you know, another one, my extended family is kind of like this, too. I went with a couple of my cousins to a soup kitchen in inner city Newark. And I'll never forget this man sitting down, and he's like, I had everything. I had a job, I had a family, I had a wife, and it was like I blinked my eyes and it's all gone, and he just started crying.
Wow.
And he's like, don't let that happen to you.
Yeah.
And, like, I remember that. I was 14, same yeah. age Tommy is now.
Yeah.
Very impactful on my life, and, you know, the Baskin Ridge Presbyterian Church has fantastic missions.
Yeah.
They have a 10-day work camp that goes up to Maine every year, and they do Habitat for Humanity type of work.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that all 4 years of high school, and I volunteered as an advisor for the kids a little bit later, 1 year. And definitely a deeply rooted passion.
It's a value, right? It's a value that you have and have been raised with and continue to share with your own family.
Right, right.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take another quick break, and we'll be back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 40 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisals, sales and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investors, RabCoin has been for the industry since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block has been an expert and an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, we're back. This is Nicole Smith, and you're listening to Happy to Help. We've got a young ambassador, kindness ambassador, entrepreneur, social entrepreneur, kindness person, Tommy Moudry, here today talking about his middle school project to start the Kindness Club at Burnsville Middle School. We've got his mom, Erin Moudry, and his teacher advisor, Megan Monnier, and his principal, Mrs. Gretchen Dempsey. And we've got a full group here of opinions and interjections talking about how it just doesn't take a lot to be kind and what a difference it makes in people's lives and gives hope. So Erin wanted to talk a little bit about her perspective on geographic location and what you may or may not know about your neighbors.
Yeah, so what occurred to me when Megan was mentioning the food drive, and I was talking, you know, with Mrs. Dempsey about the canned goods collections and all that, is that I think that when people hear, oh, you live in Bernardsville, or oh, you live in Basking Ridge, they assume that you are living in one of the mansions up on the Bernardsville Mountain, or, you know, they assume you live in a million-dollar-plus house. That's simply not the case, as we have seen with Katie Myler, who had a very different upbringing than that in Bernardsville, in the neighborhood where Tommy and I and my husband live. But it was that was well pointed out to me when we wanted to actually physically go to God's Co-op Pantry, which is in Bernardsville. They do a lot of local collections of food items, and I happen to know one of the women who's very active in running it, and I said, can I bring Tommy there and not just donate? Can we come and help distribute the food? And the answer was no, because it's his peers and their families that he goes to school with mm-hmm. that we're serving. And it was just kind of like an oh, wow moment mm-hmm. of, you know, there are a lot of kids in our very affluent area mm-hmm. who are relying on donated food. So I just, you know, wish that people would think outside of their own little bubble a little bit. there's tons of stuff you can do locally to help people. It doesn't have to always be outreach, although all of it is equally important.
Right. And then I don't know if you have this in Bernardsville, but we've got those orange bags tied to our recycle bins, and it's mm-hmm. for curb your hunger, because people say, you know, at the holidays, again, everybody calls me every year. They want to work the soup kitchen on Thanksgiving. I'm like, well, the soup kitchen goes all year round, folks. Like, you know, we need help. For, like, in the summertime, I have a hard time getting people, but it works out. But, everyone's always giving turkeys and cans and everything around the holidays. It's like, oh, yeah, share the bounty. But, you know, people need food in the summertime, too. So we've got you put your canned goods and things in these orange bags and leave them on the curb with mm-hmm. when the recycle people pick up your recycles. They pick up the food. So reach out to the food pantries this summer. I think in a couple of weeks I've got the Orange County or somebody coming on from a food pantry. I can't remember which one, but yeah. So we'll learn a lot more about that and you can tune in a couple of weeks. But what do you got going for the future, Tommy? As you move into high school, are you going to be more of kind of an offsite leadership role to keep this club going while you're moving on?
Sorry.
It's okay.
So basically, I don't think I will be doing another like exact copy of the kind.
No, but you'll be advising the middle school, right?
Yeah, I'll try to as best as I can. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know yet about high school because I don't know what the workload is yet.
Yeah. No. Well, you know, it's a new frontier for you, so you got to kind of get your bearings first, right?
Yeah, I kind of got to get used to it before I can start kind of going a little bit backwards to the middle school to try to help out.
Yeah. Do you have some younger classmen that are going to kind of take the reins at the middle school for you? And
I'm still thinking about it at the moment. I don't know if we're going to have, like, a bunch of, like, smaller managers that can work together as, like, a group with Ms. Manya, or just have like one person or more people. I'm thinking either way, probably some sort of like manager to keep it together.
Okay. Yeah. And Ms. Manya, how do you see that shaking out?
Yeah, I think that'll work out well. You know, like I said, we've had participation at each grade level, and I've even tried to spread the word with, you know, the incoming fifth graders. So I'm super excited for next year. I feel like we'll have some continued participation. You know, and I think to go along with the question that you asked Tommy and about his participation from afar. I mean, I do feel like he'll work to advise us and, you know, be a mentor to new members. And I think even just going into the high school, you know, every small thing that he does is going to matter. And I've seen that happen just here at the middle school. So, you know, when the student in front of me holds the door when I'm carrying my big bag, or, you know, when I hear students tell me stories about the cafeteria and, you know, they saw one of their friends sitting alone and they quickly went over to join them or asked them to come over. I feel like those small moments really make a difference in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And even when you're just walking down the hallway to your next class and you pick up your head to smile at the person that you're walking mm-hmm. by instead of just rushing by so quickly, mm-hmm. I feel like the smile really makes a difference. So I think just every little bit is going to continue to help.
So he set the tone, right? And then now you're just going to continue that. No, I definitely do agree with that. Like, you know, how simple is a smile, you know, and it can just make someone's day. There you go, you're smiling. No, that's good. Well, does anybody we only got a few minutes left. Does anybody have any words of wisdom to share with our listeners? Mrs. Dempsey?
I think my biggest words of wisdom are just that I consider myself fortunate to have had a student like Tommy in the school, because I do think that it would not be what it is today if not for his efforts. And the words that you shared before around that seed idea, I do really believe in. I think Tommy came to us with an idea, and Miss Manio was sort of the gardener, and all I did was, I don't know, buy a fence and make sure they had access to water and sunshine. So
it all
came together. I think because of his ideas and the trust that he had in Miss Manio and her hard work, and I'm grateful for both of them.
Takes a village, right? We're all part of the village. And Tommy, what's your quote again? With the ocean, can you share with that again, Cherith?
Yes. One drop of kindness equals an ocean of hope.
Exactly. So if you're out and about today, smile at someone, hold the door open. That's my huge pet peeve. I love it when people hold the door, or I try to hold the door. And just little tiny things. You never know who you're going to impact, what's going to happen. How about you, Ms. Monia? Any parting words?
No, I think, you know, again, just encourage kindness on every level. You know, big and small, and also, like Mrs. Dempsey was saying, you know, if you have an idea of something that you want to do to help others, you know, share that idea with someone who can help you to maybe get it started and up and running if you're not sure how to do it on your own, because people do want to help.
Yep, and it's more fun to do it with your friends and your neighbors and just get a group going. It spreads, happiness spreads pretty fast, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you all so much for being here. It was really fun, and everybody, check it out. Check out your church, your community, your school, and just get off the couch and do something good. Thank you.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
What's called a compromise immigration bill could see a vote in the U.S. House today. The Republican-crafted measure would keep migrant families from being separated at the border, and House GOP whip Steve Scalise says the bill would also pay for President Trump's border wall and would strengthen immigration enforcement inside the U.S. Scalise says it's not clear whether Democrats will go for it.
What the Democrats want is amnesty and open borders, and that's really what it's come down to, and they don't want to build the wall.
Scalise was speaking on Fox and Friends. Another U.S. Supreme Court ruling comes down, this one dealing a big blow.
Complex web. It will be very, very difficult to untangle it.
But Dr. Ben Carson says he's not ready to untangle it just yet.
And we still have millions saying on Facebook, you cannot leave us.
Speaking to supporters in Baltimore as Super Tuesday results rolled in, Carson said he's been somewhat discouraged by the political process since he jumped into the race. Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are Super Tuesday's big winners. Clinton and Trump cemented their status as the front runners in the 2016 presidential campaign Tuesday with victories across the country. They locked up 7 wins each. The leader of the Republican Party says the turnout on Super Tuesday proves America wants a change from Democrats. RNC Chairman Reince Priebus says Democrats are not energized by Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. Neighbors of Apple's fenced-in complex in Northern California say they've been hearing strange noises around the clock. Sunnyvale residents say they're hearing random banging, thumps, and loud humming or buzzing at all hours. This is USA Radio News.
And now, a touching moment. Well, staying in touch with GEICO.
It was a warm summer day. I was just sitting on a porch watching a babbling brook roll by. Then, out of the blue, I got an update from my GEICO app saying my claim had been processed. I felt so connected to nature, to GEICO. I stayed there the whole afternoon until that guy told me to stop trespassing on his porch. Sheesh, what was his problem?
Claim status updates, just a few taps away on the GEICO app.
QL1, this is Control. Does Rocket Mortgage require...